When your pastor asked if I would be available to preach, I said, yes, of course. Somebody taught me years ago that you should be ready at a moment's notice to preach, pray, or die. So I'm here to preach. But what? And that's where those of us who are out of the pastorate, we don't have a regular congregation. So we don't know where people are and how to relate to what the need is. That's one of the problems that seminarians have in preaching. And sometimes their preaching sounds pretty abstract because they don't have a congregation into which they're interacting. But as I prayed about this, it seemed to me that knowing this company here today, that there's a message in Daniel for us. And so we come back to Daniel chapter 1. Before we read this, let me just say a little word about this. Daniel is listed as a prophet. And if you know anything about Old Testament history, those of you who are in college, you're becoming acquainted with that. You know that by the time we get to Daniel, Judah, following Samaria, the northern kingdom, has been carried off into captivity, and Daniel with them. So, it's a rather dismal environment when you stop and think about it. It seemed to me that there are a lot of people caught up in that kind of a spirit today. Not because of 9/11, but I mean just in general. How do you make sense out of things? What's happening? How do you explain the reversals? That's why you find the word providence in the title. Because I see Daniel as a young man who was caught, as it were, captive in the providence of God. And that's where we are, too. Sometimes we just don't realize. Let's see if from this word we can make some sense from God for our lives today and what's ahead. Now hear the word of God. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Don't miss that. Along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of the officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years. at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. And to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king." But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please, test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and in the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food. And deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter, and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better. They were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine that they were to drink, but kept giving them vegetables. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. So ends the reading of chapter 1 of this prophecy. Make you want to read the rest of it? It's a fascinating book. It's a wonderful book. And before you get through it, you're going to find yourself reading about the coming king, the Messiah. It's one of the great prophecies of the kingdom of God. But to our message today, the scripture unfolds some very interesting things. Before we get to that, let me begin by saying that our decisions determine who we are. And, may I add, they reveal who we are. Our decisions. That's what we run into with Daniel. And we're going to look at Daniel's decisions today. But I want you to notice that all those decisions are in a context. And it's that context which our culture has to such a large extent become ignorant, perhaps even defiant. If you've learned the Westminster Shorter Catechism, you've memorized, hopefully at least the first part of it. What are the decrees of God? Tell us. What is it? Go ahead. Oh, you have to say it for everybody. If you want to start an argument at work, quote that. And what are the decrees of God? The decrees of God are His works of creation and providence. You get in trouble with creation with many people today. And if they understood what you were talking about when you said providence, you'd be in trouble with that. What is that work of providence? God's works of providence are His most holy, wise, and well, I've forgotten. God's works of providence are His most holy, wise, and powerful, governing and preserving all His creatures and all their actions. You won't understand your Bible at all if you don't understand these doctrines. And Daniel seems to have had that clearly in mind. And it affected his decisions. And what I want to emphasize today is that a study of Daniel can help us grow as a people of godly purpose. Godly purpose. I suppose if there's one text here that I would refer to, it's verse 8. Many sermons have been preached on Daniel 1:8. Daniel made up his mind, or literally purposed in his heart, that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. Then he took action. He wasn't a pragmatist. Let's see what works. No, he made up his mind. He established his way. Let me give you just three aspects of this idea of godly purpose. As we see it in Daniel. It's the way Daniel thought. He thought in terms of God. He thought in terms of mission. And he thought in terms of faith. And my hope is that this will be of help to you. Many of you who are young, you're probably about the same age as Daniel was. You may feel like you're caught up in something and you don't know where or what's going to happen historically. What are you going to do? Well, the first thing that we learn from Daniel here is that he thought in terms of God. Now, you know what atheism is? Atheism is just leave him out. Don't mention him. You don't mention God, you're acting like an atheist. Because atheism means no God. There's a little more subtle dimension in cultural thinking today, and that is what's known as agnosticism, which means I don't have to make up my mind. I just go the way the ball bounces. But Daniel thought in terms of God. Think of his situation. His nation was devastated. His city was sacked. And he was carried off captive into a foreign country, never to return. Daniel thought in terms of God. And he'd heard the other prophets, and he knew that the reason this had happened was God's judgment. He also knew from Jeremiah that it would be a 70-year length of time. You go down to Daniel 9, and he prays in Daniel 9 on the basis of those 70 years. No, he thought in terms of God. And he could see his situation in that. Probably, who knows how old he was. Maybe 16, maybe he was 18. Was he a eunuch? I don't know. Sometimes they castrated these young men. But you see, when he thinks about God, he knows that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord finishes. Looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. So they were handsome. They were had all these qualities, you know, scholarships, and all that. God looks on the heart. And he knew that. His name, Daniel, is God is Judge. And you know, one of the things they tried to do over there was change their names and name them after their gods. It's very interesting as you read the end of the book. Cyrus calls him Daniel. Still calls him Daniel. God is judge. That was his identity. He was identified with God. Is that the way you are? People know you? Just the way you talk? The way you think? Do you understand that you're a person who thinks in terms of God? And you think not only of him as creator, but you also think of him as the God of providence, who brings to pass all that occurs according to his perfect will. You know, there are a lot of Christians that are uptight. Somebody has used a graphic illustration and said, when you've been running to catch the bus and you caught it, you can quit running. And pushing on the seat in front of you does not make the bus go faster. There is tremendous comfort in the doctrine of providence. Nothing can happen that he doesn't permit. And it's obvious from the reading of Hebrews that sometimes God permits rather terrible things to happen. like a cross. His son came to earth and submitted himself to the will of the Father. And Jesus, you see, put himself as this man who thinks in terms of God. All through Jesus' life, no matter what happened, he's always in touch. Even at the cross. You know, the Father deserted him. But Jesus never deserted the Father. On that cross, in the dark. Eli, Eli, my God, why have you forsaken me? We knew he was there. I'm trying to get at your brain today. This Word of God teaches us that God is. And there is nothing that's not related to Him. And Daniel illustrates this for us. That was his identity. Daniel, God is judge. And so, is any surprise that in verse 8, he commits his way to God up front. He doesn't wait to see how the ball bounces or how it'll turn out. No, he determines it first. And I want to tell you something, young people, as well as some of us who are older. Commitment leads to guidance. Guidance doesn't lead to commitment. We used to have a lot of fellows up at Covenant Fellowship who had finished their education, were sort of sitting there waiting to see what was going to happen. And I said, we got to be committed. And they said, how can we be committed if we don't know what He wants us to do? And I said, you mean you don't have any idea what God might want you to do? Well, yeah. Well, commit yourself to it. Start moving. Can't steer a ship at anchor. Once you're committed. And you see, Daniel commits himself right here because he thought in terms of God. But he also thought in terms of mission. I think it's very interesting here how he treats his superiors. You know, he doesn't come on and blast him for this. You say, well, why was he rejecting this food and drink? The best explanation I have heard of it was offered to idols. It wasn't because he didn't like meat. And you see, he recognized that all of this culture in Babylon was built around their gods. And they offered their food to their gods. And he wasn't going to eat that. Still thinking in terms of God, but he thinks in terms of his mission, and that is, he had a positive attitude toward his superiors. God is sovereign, so he accepts the providence of God with dignity and submission. And so he makes a request, not a demand, from his superior. And he comes up with a creative alternative. Try us out. See what happens. Yeah, but you're gonna fall behind. Well, test us out. On what basis does he do this? He understands that God orders all things. And if God is in this, he can do it. That gets us into the faith dimension. But he has a positive attitude. Now, I believe he also understood what Jeremiah had said. He no doubt heard it. Remember Jeremiah 29? Jeremiah begins to describe what's going to happen when they get into captivity. 70 years. Thus says the Lord of hosts. I'm in Jeremiah 29, verse 4. The God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Listen to this. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there, and do not decrease. Seek the welfare. Now listen to this. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. Can you believe that? I believe Daniel had heard this. For in its welfare, you will have welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I believe Daniel knew this. God wouldn't desert his people. He had a plan. And God said 70 years. And he waited it out and never experienced it. Never came back. But Daniel had the idea that as a servant of God, he was to do good. Isn't that what Jesus did when he came? The reputation that he had was, here he is, this man of God. I'm speaking of Jesus now, the God-man, but fully man. And he went about doing good. That was his reputation. You have that kind of reputation? Well, that's what we see in Daniel. And he thought positively, not because he felt that he understood the future. No, he knew what the prophet had said. He knew what the Word of God had predicted. So he built on that. Don't you know what the Word of God says about the future? You get on your knees and you pray, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You believe that? That little expression in that prayer, whether it's in the text or not, should lead you to say, For thine is the glory and the power forever. Lord's Prayer, you know, gets you up off your knees with zest. It doesn't end by saying, and forgive us our sins. That's taken care of up front. And by the time you get done with that prayer, you're enjoying it. Well, I believe that this man here thought in terms of mission. By the way, he did Babylon a lot of good. He really did. And the men knew that. They knew they could trust him. How are you gonna see all this happen though? You think in terms of God? God has a mission. You gotta believe it. You gotta believe it. But without faith, Hebrews 11:6 says, it is impossible to please him. For he that believeth in God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. That's the word that keeps the Christian on his knees praying. John Calvin in his Institutes entitles the chapter on prayer as prayer, the chief means of exercising faith. And as one man said, it takes a couple hours to quit praying for toys and start praying for continents. Faith grows as we pray. God answers. Now, in this situation, Daniel perseveres. It's just this little bit, but it was so important that he worked this out with the man in charge. And that worked out well. That worked out well. But it involved a trial period. He was calling upon God. As you read Daniel, you'll find that Daniel was given all kinds of blessings from God as he goes along. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. You know, Nebuchadnezzar later had a dream. And that dream, he couldn't understand. Nobody could explain it. So he said, let's get rid of all these diviners, get some new ones. And Daniel comes in prudently and says, why is the king in such a hurry? Give us a little time. So the king gave him a little bit of time, and he went to his fellowship group, his three friends, and they got on their knees together and they prayed. And that night, God revealed to Daniel the meaning of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. See, Daniel lived by faith. He lived by faith. He trusted God. One of my wife's favorite verses, mine too, is Psalm 112:7. About the godly man, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Well, this test proved out. They were better. They had a better way to live. And Christians, in their churches and their communities have a history of a better way to live. That's back when congregations were congregations. You know what I mean by that? Congregation was a community of people who gathered not only on the Lord's Day, but all during the week. I had an experience with that coming back from Cyprus in 1974, and I was called to what was then newly named Covenant Fellowship. And it wasn't in my call, but one of the things I picked up was this word community. And as I looked at the way they were dressed, they were post-Vietnam, hippie era. I thought they meant commune. And so I had to check them out, find out, you know, what is this? Well, I said, live close. I said, what do you mean, live close? They said, like upstairs or across the street. And I said, what are you trying to do, create a ghetto? And he said, you don't need to worry about that in today's culture. But we want to be a people 24/7. I'd never lived in that kind of a situation where people wanted to do that. And one man, whom I won't mention, lived quite a distance away, and he said to one of the persons, we don't have enough meetings. And this man discreetly said, sir, I see people every day. The problem is where you live. Why don't you move? And he sold his house and moved. He hadn't moved into his location, which was on a two-block street on which four other families lived from our congregation. Just a short time, he reached the family across the street. It's a community. And where Christians have gone, there have gone hospitals, help, education, justice. Solid family life. Right? But it's not every man for himself. Not at all. But it's by faith. It's by faith. And the trust principle comes out so accurately later on, and you knew I'd have to mention this, because Hebrews 11 refers to it. Did you catch it? Stop the mouth of lions. Daniel in the lion's den. He went in there knowing that God could close the mouths of lions, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew. And that great statement where they said, whether God delivers us or not, we're not going to bow down. And the fire couldn't touch them. That's all by faith. That's all by faith. And that's the way Jesus lived. He trusted his Father for everything he did. He didn't do a thing apart from his Heavenly Father. Not a thing. See, he was the God-man. The man, Christ Jesus, who had submitted to the Father's will as our covenant representative. And on that basis then went in obedience to the cross to fulfill that covenant which had been made clear back before creation. I say Daniel thought in terms of God, he thought in terms of mission, and he thought in terms of faith. Now, an important day for our country. I haven't dwelt at all on 9/11. I got thinking about that. Is there a quotable quote from 9/11? Well, we live in Pennsylvania. There's a memorial in Pennsylvania because there was a plane that was headed, apparently, for Washington, D.C. And some guys on that plane decided they needed to do something. They'd been in contact by their cell phones. One good thing from a cell phone, yeah. And they anticipated that this plane was headed for the Capitol. They said, no, it won't. And by faith, and some of these men were Christians, they determined that plane would never get to Washington. And it didn't. Quotable quote, let's roll. You think in terms of God? You think in terms of His mission for your life? Are you ready for whatever reversals He may bring to you? And He does. And you'll face what's ahead by faith. Maybe that somebody here has never really come to Christ in that way. If that's your case, I invite you. In fact, I charge you in the name of God to come to Him. Put your trust in Him. Serve Him. Speak to me if you wish to. But don't play with this. This is life and death stuff. And we as the people of God need to face the future in terms of God, His mission, and by faith. Amen.